Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Quint Studer is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. He's an old friend of ours and a member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of Hardwiring Excellent. Quint is a nationally acclaimed healthcare management educator and a coach for leaders in helping people like me and you to put our best foot forward in the marketplace, but especially with the people we work with. Quint, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's nice to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. And you know, Quint, one of the things that I like to constantly remind my audience about, sometimes they roll their eyes when I do, you know, kind of like a teenager does when you tell them the same thing over and over again. But I always remind them that we all have too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on, especially in a small business. And that means that we not only have to have the right heads to put all those hats on, to find the people who can wear multiple hats. But once we have those people, and once we start putting those hats on them, and they start being productive and effective and taking initiative and helping us to follow our dream and be successful, we need to make sure that we nurture that relationship properly. And that's where you come in, Quint. You're the best at that.
Well, thank you. I believe in, you know, it's interesting. Just this week, I did my two-day seminar, and we actually had 70 people that came from non-healthcare that showed up that owned a number of small businesses. I guess, Jim, what you and I were talking about right before I went on the air is, you know, you'd love to think that every company doesn't have downs, doesn't have problems, doesn't have to make tough decisions, but they do. And with any workforce, there's going to be times when you have to do something or make a change or take something away that employees are going to be upset with. And what I talk about an awful lot is harvesting the wins and making those what we call building an emotional bank account, because I find you can do, you know, 10 good things and you do one thing that the employees don't like, and if you haven't kept them in mind of those 10 good things, all of a sudden they never get anything. So I think it's harvesting those wins and reminding the employees of, not beating them over the head with it, but reminding employees and showing employees when good things happen is absolutely key for those tough decision times when you want your employees to stay with you.
Well, and you know, this is doubly important for small businesses, Quint, because in a big business, and I've worked for big businesses as you have, and not that it's ever easy for anybody to give an employee bad news or news that they don't want to hear, but when a big business does it, those decisions are usually made, you know, 2, 3, maybe 20 off of the employee that actually gets the final news. And even though the person who has to give the news doesn't like doing it, they can always say, well, you know what, this wasn't my call. I didn't decide this. I'm just the bearer of the news. In a small business, the decision maker and the bearer of the news is the same person. And so it lands on us a little extra heavy.
Well, and even in a small business, you have to be real careful, because if you've even got one supervisor, and they keep saying the we, they. I call what you talked about a little earlier with, you know, delivering a message and blaming somebody else,
right,
creating the we, they in an organization. And one of the greatest ways to destroy an organization, whether it's small or big, is when anybody blames their boss or their owner for the decision. Because they might like you or they might like your supervisor, but, you know, they don't like the company. So if I own a small company and I have a supervisor out there, and the supervisor says, hey, you know, this isn't my idea. Wish I didn't have to do this. In fact, I had, after my seminar yesterday, I had a woman leave, and she said, I just almost feel terrible. Right before I came here, I told all my employees what their pay raise is going to be, and I told each one of them, gee, if it was me, you'd get more. And so what happens is they like the supervisor, but they don't like the boss.
Right. That builds ill will, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it builds ill will, and I think many of that times is, and I think I would agree with you, Jim, running a small business is way harder than running a big business. We work with small organizations. We work with big. When you work with small organizations, turnover, of course, hits you worse because it's a bigger percentage every time anybody leaves. You know, you're not depending on thousands of customers. It might be less customers, so that always hurts you. But so we think that being able to communicate and answer the tough questions and telling why. In my website on www.studergroup.com just this last week, you know, I talked about employers. We all want our employees to act like owners. Yet we don't. There's three key things to help an employee act like an owner. Number one is sharing information. And if they don't know what's, you know, an owner knows what's going on in the company. So if you want your employees to act like an owner, then when you build the emotional bank account, you share information. Number two is allowing them to be involved in selection. As an owner, many of us do the hiring. And then all of a sudden, you know, we hire somebody and the employees work with them a day and say, where do you find these people? And by allowing our employees involved in the selection process, we create ownership. And probably the third one, and I think this is as important or more important, is really explaining the why. And if as an owner, when we make decisions, whether it's a decision that's, you know, one we even didn't have to make, we know why. And sometimes when things are explained to employees, we explain what we're doing, and maybe even how we're doing it, but not why we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to. You're exactly right. We have to empower our employees. One of the words, you use the word sharing information, the term sharing information with your employees, Quinn, and I agree with you, but I use another word that mm-hmm. I think lands a little bit harder, a little bit more effective, and I think it makes a little longer lasting impression, and that's the word trust. Mm-hmm. I say trust your employees with that information. And if you say it to them like that, if you say I'm trusting you with this, then it sounds like you've made a little bit more of a commitment than just sharing. What do you think?
Well, I agree. I think you have to lay the foundation. I remember, and also I think you have to be prepared that if you haven't shared information or trusted your employees with information before, it might not go great the first couple of times. it might not go great,
and it might not be their fault. It might be that you're not doing it the right way.
Might not be doing it the right way. I remember when I was working with an organization in Philadelphia, they were going to close a department, and they would just sort of announce it all at the same time, and he brought his supervisors in a day before to let them know, but he asked them, please don't tell anybody because we have a whole system. by the time the meeting was over in about 6 minutes, everybody knew. And he had to bring them back in and talk about the fact that, this happens, but I'm trusting you with this information. So I would agree. And when you start sharing information, talk to them about why you're doing it, what you'd like them to do with it.
Hold on to that thought, Quint. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with Quint Studer. He's the author of Hardwiring Excellence. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Quint Studer, the author of Hardwiring Excellence. And Quint, tell us where the book is available, please.
Well, probably the best place to buy the book is my website at www.studergroup.com. And
S-T-U-D-E-R.
And the great news is we have found they can buy it off our website because it's a little less expensive. Read it, and then actually if you sell it on eBay, you can make about $5 or $6.
What a deal. Hey, and can they get an autographed copy if they order it from your website?
Oh, sure they can. Or if they can email me at Quint, Quint, at studergroup.com.
All right.
And please, any question I have, ask Quint, and I have a second book out actually called 101 Questions, and it's actually the questions that I've gotten from supervisors and managers throughout the years.
Right. By the way, I don't have a copy of that book.
I'm anxiously
awaiting my copy. Okay, folks, we're talking about how to build what Quint calls an emotional bank account with your employees. How to bank attaboy, so to speak, so that when things happen that aren't so good, that the tough decisions that always have to inevitably have to be made, that you've already reserved, you've got a little reserve built up and some credibility with your employees, and I think that's an excellent idea. And you know, Quint, one of the things we were talking about was helping your employees to be owners, helping them to think like an owner, to take initiative. And one of the things that I found, and I think that's such an important thing for you to talk about, Quint, because the 21st century is not the century of the dominator manager. It's the century of the manager who can understand how to be more of a partner with their employees. And one of the things I think you've got to be able to do, and I'd like your thoughts on this, whenever an employee takes initiative and fails, messes up somehow, but they made a mistake or they failed trying their best within their scope of their work, instead of being rough on them and fussing at them or maybe even firing them, the correct response that I encourage small business owners to have is to find out what happened and ask this question: what did we learn? What do you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. In fact, one of my when I speak, one of the stories I talk about is when I was in high school, I played soccer, and I had a coach named Coach King. And I wasn't the greatest athlete in the world. When I'd run over and miss a ball, Coach King would say, "Way to go, Quint. Nice hustle. Way to get over there. Next time, put the foot out. But nice job getting over there." Well, it kept me going for the ball.
Yeah.
And I think what happens in most businesses is somebody does go for that ball, they get yelled at, and they basically say, "Hey, I'm not going to do that again."
Right.
I was talking to a CEO yesterday who said she wishes her employees would, challenge her more, debate her more. And I said, "Well, they won't, because you're a little intimidating."
Uh-huh.
And no one wants to go first.
And usually those of us who are intimidating don't think we're intimidating, do we?
Oh, no. No, because I find that
We think we're just warm, cuddly, lovable people, don't we?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the suggestions I gave her was, I said, if somebody comes up to you privately and maybe challenges a decision or asks questions, ask them to hold on and do that next time the group's together, and role model that somebody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Reinforce and thank them. Even show them that you'll readjust your decision, because then that gets other employees comfortable making suggestions. And going back to your original point, I think one of the hardest things to do as a leader is sometimes... First of all, I agree with you. We're in the era where there's not blind trust. The leader just can't say, "Follow me. I know what's best." But I think you're absolutely right. One of the hardest things I had to learn when I was president of a large organization or when I was the manager of a small department is when an employee would come to me and give me an idea or say something, I had to put my ego in the pocket. The worst thing I can say is, "You know what? That's what I was thinking." Because as soon as I say that, then the people say, "Well, then why should I give you a suggestion if you're already
mm-hmm.
thinking it?"
How about and the first cousin to that answer is, "Oh, we've already tried that."
Oh yeah, tried it and been that done, mm-hmm. been there, done that. I had a story on that too. I had a young manager come up to me, and not a young manager; he'd been there a long time, and he said, "You know, I'm trying to get my employees to do some things, and they just won't do it." And they say, "I tried it, didn't work. Been there, done that." So I listened to him for a while, and then when he got done, I gave him a few suggestions, and the first suggestion I gave him, he said, "Well, I've been there, done that." Second suggestion I gave him, he said, "Tried it, didn't work." And I said, "I wonder where the employees learned this behavior."
Yeah, sometimes they put up mirrors in front of us, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing I find for any time you're trying to build an emotional bank account, I write this, is to truly make sure as the owner that you're trying to make sure that, you know, or as boss, that you're making sure you're very sensitive, because sometimes you might do things and you don't even realize it. You know, mm-hmm. I used to go into the cafeteria. People would say I could, point where I can cut in line, and I had to make sure I don't cut in line. I had to be careful where I park. Because one of the things that people really want today, employees want, when we ask them who do they want to work for, they want to work for bosses that are approachable, listen, and work shoulder to shoulder.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you what, Quint, we're going to have to wrap it up because we've run out of time.
I appreciate this, Jim.
But boy, I tell you, we need to get you back again real soon, because it's always great to have you here. You always give us some real good things to think about to help us do a better job, a more effective job of managing our employees and working with them. Quint Studer, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Hardwiring Excellence, excellence, and that's studergroup.com. Thanks to Quint. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Quick break, right back with our good friend Rick Pinion after these messages. Do you know what SIPC is? Well, you're going to find out in just a few minutes. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff. One can
tell. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.